Chapter 15. Sharing What's Believable.
Chapter 15 uses Peter's eagerness to tell everyone back home about the island to expose a much deeper issue. The real question is not whether people will hear an unusual story, but whether they will believe it. Peter and Thomas have seen the island, spoken with Theo, and experienced things that have persuaded them that this mysterious place is real. Yet both recognize that their testimony alone may not persuade anyone who has never encountered anything like it. A hidden island, talking animals, and a giant tortoise simply do not fit within what most people already believe to be possible. In fact, they did not fit Peter's and Thomas's own understanding of reality when they first encountered these extraordinary experiences. Theo uses this observation to help the boys see an important spiritual principle. People do not believe merely because they are told to believe. The obstacle is not necessarily dishonesty, rebellion, or even an unwillingness to listen. A person may hear a truthful report from someone he deeply trusts and still remain unconvinced because what he hears lies outside the framework through which he has always understood reality. This lesson becomes especially pointed when Theo reminds Peter of the Apostle Thomas. Peter assumes the biblical Thomas should have accepted the testimony of the other disciples that Jesus had risen from the dead and simply chosen to believe them. Yet Peter now finds himself standing in a similar scenario. If he expects others to believe his testimony about the island, what will he do when they cannot simply decide to believe it? Theo's question quietly exposes the weakness in Peter's familiar formula. If faith is produced by an act of the will, Peter should be able to tell others to trust and believe his story, and reasonably expect them to do so. But even Peter knows that is not how belief works. Before faith can exist, the heart must first become persuaded that what it is hearing is true. The island itself becomes an allegory for the way people often respond to spiritual truth. Truth may be faithfully testified to, supported by evidence, and even standing directly before a person, yet still remain unbelievable because it lies outside the boundaries of what he already believes is possible. This does not make truth less true, nor does it make testimony, scripture, evidence, or careful explanation unimportant. God often uses these very things to bring truth before us, but information alone does not produce persuasion. The eyes of the heart must be opened. Theo's counsel to Peter and Thomas is not that they should force themselves to believe everything they encounter on the island. Neither does he tell them to ignore scripture, abandon discernment, or accept every claim without examination. He admonishes Peter and Thomas to be honest. They will encounter things they do not immediately understand. They may not yet accept what they see or hear. Their responsibility is not to pretend that they are persuaded when they are not. However, the boys should bring their actual beliefs, questions, fears, and conclusions into the light before God and allow him to show them what is true. This is where the chapter becomes personal for Peter. He sincerely loves scripture and wants to obey God. His problem is not a lack of concern for truth. Peter's difficulty is that he has treated his present understanding of scripture as though it were the same thing as scripture itself. He believes God has already told him what to believe and that his responsibility is simply to trust and obey. Yet Theo's words force him to consider that some of his strongest conclusions may be interpretations he has accepted without ever recognizing the difference between what God has said and what Peter has assumed God meant. The warning about casting pearls before swine adds to Peter's conundrum. Not everyone who is unconvinced is hostile to the truth. Some people are honestly confused, limited by what they have previously believed, or simply not yet persuaded. Such should not be condemned merely because they cannot believe on demand. Alongside those are people whose purpose is not to understand, but to mock, distort, or trample what is holy. Wisdom is needed to distinguish between someone who is honestly unconvinced and someone who has no desire to receive truth. Theo's point also challenges the common idea that believers are responsible to win souls by somehow convincing unbelievers to believe the gospel. Christians are called to proclaim Christ faithfully, explain the truth clearly, answer questions honestly, and bear witness to what God has done. We may plant seeds and water them, but we cannot make the seed germinate or take root. Our job is to be transformed into the bride and body of Christ. No amount of argument, emotional pressure, religious urgency, or polished presentation can produce genuine faith in another person. God alone opens the heart and brings persuasion. The goal is not to pressure someone into an outward profession, lead them in some rote prayer, get them to raise their hand or come forward in a preaching service. Our mission is to faithfully present the truth in a way the person can receive and trust God to do what only He can do within the heart. Unless the Spirit convinces their hearts of the truth,
they cannot be persuaded.
Therefore, the chapter's central insight is that a heavenly perspective does not begin by demanding that others accept what we say, nor by pretending that we believe what we do not. It begins with humility before God's word, honesty about what is actually operating in the heart, and willingness to allow the Holy Spirit to persuade us of truth that may challenge conclusions we have long assumed were settled.
Surface Reflections.
What part of the story captured your attention or interested you the most?
What concept, question, or insight stood out most to you in this chapter?
Which character's perspective or response did you find most relatable?
What concept or insight seemed the most challenging for you?
Plunging Deeper.
Number 1. Theo suggests that people often reject testimony, not because the person sharing it is untrustworthy, but because what they hear falls outside what they have become persuaded is possible.
Can you identify a time when you dismissed or questioned someone's testimony? Not because you believed they were dishonest, but because what they described did not fit within what you believed was possible.
Number 2. Can you think of a time when you accepted that someone was sincere and truthful, yet still found yourself unconvinced by what they were saying?
What prevented you from becoming persuaded? What does that experience teach you about how belief is formed?
Number 3. Think about a time when you tried to convince someone of the truths found in Scripture, yet they remained unconvinced. How did that experience affect the way you viewed your role?
What might change if you recognized that your responsibility is to bear faithful witness while God is responsible for bringing persuasion?
Number 4.
Theo tells the boys that he is not asking them to choose to believe or even try to believe, but to remain honest as God continues his work. When you recognize that what Scripture says and what presently seems true to you are not the same, what usually happens next? Do you try to convince yourself? Or do you honestly bring your present perception before God and ask Him to convince your heart of the truth?
Island Insights.
God is the one who opens the eyes of the heart and persuades us of what is true. No amount of information, arguments, emotional pressure, religious effort, or repeated instruction can produce genuine faith where the heart remains unconvinced. Truth may be clearly presented, but only God can bring a person from hearing the truth to becoming persuaded that it is true. For this reason, God does not ask us to pretend that we believe what we do not believe, nor does He ask us to force ourselves or others into faith by sheer determination. He invites us to bring into His light the conclusions, fears, doubts, and assumptions that are actually operating within us. Rather than defending what is familiar or trying to manufacture the response we think we ought to have, we can receive His perspective and allow Him to renew our minds. This also changes how we speak truth to others. We are called to faithfully proclaim Christ, bear witness to what God has revealed, answer honestly, and love patiently. We may plant and water, but God alone gives the growth. Our responsibility is not to win an argument, secure an outward response, or make another person believe. It is to speak the truth faithfully and trust the one who alone can cause it to take root in the heart.